It was sometime last year, back a bit, I went to visit Peter and Wendy. You may know Peter and Wendy live on the 10th floor, and I decided that that day I'd give the lift a miss and take the stairs. By the 5th floor, my breathing was getting very laboured. By the 7th floor, my legs were beginning to feel a bit like jelly. By the 9th floor, all I could hear was my pulse thundering in my ears and my vision had started to blur. I did make it to the 10th floor, but I had to lean against the wall for several minutes before I could even go and knock on their door and speak to them. This was a bit of a shock for me, because I thought I was fit. After all, as I may have mentioned before, I was the 1970 Suffolk Junior School Boy Long Jump Champion. And I play squash regularly. Well, up until about 7 years ago, I did. But despite all of that, somehow I'm just not as fit as I thought I was. I suspect that I may not be the only person here who has lived in complete self-delusion about the state of my physical fitness. But that self-delusion doesn't just affect physical fitness. It's actually even easier to delude ourselves about our spiritual health. We think that spiritually things are going okay. We're doing all right. But maybe we aren't. Maybe we just haven't noticed. Then something happens, some crisis maybe, and suddenly we realize that spiritually we're a bit like I was when I reached Peter and Wendy's. Nothing there. So as Debbie said, for Lent this year, we are going to be taking a spiritual health check. And to help us do that, everybody's been given a copy of this little booklet. It is for you to take away and use. Don't feel you need to leave it behind this morning, because you don't. It's got 16 short chapters in it. Some of the chapters will help us to look at where we are spiritually. There's 5 chapters, and they'll kind of form the basis of what we're going to do in home groups through Lent. Some of the chapters are about the things that we can do to get ourselves into shape. Those are going to form the basis of our Sunday teaching, both Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. And so each week in the What's On, there'll be a little bit about which chapters are going to relate to what is happening the coming Sunday or the previous Sunday. But the important thing is to use the booklet. Think and pray through what it says. There'll be enough time in Lent to go through the whole booklet twice, just to sort of allow God to be doing what he wants to be doing in us. And so do please take that and use it. But I guess if we're going to do all that, it's pretty important to start off by asking, so what does being in spiritually good shape look like? And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. So as we do that, let's turn to the Bible. Julie is going to come and read for us.
This reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 30, which can be found on page 1135 of the Pew Bibles. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord.
Romans 8, verse 28, just in the middle of that reading there, is one of the best loved verses in the Bible. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. What great news that is. If you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, then God is always at work for your good. But I guess that it doesn't always seem like that, does it? You lose your job. A relationship breaks down. You get seriously ill. There are any number of things that can make us wonder, where is this God working for my good stuff? The problem is that we kind of read that verse, or it's actually just a part of a verse, and we think, oh good, God's working for my good, and I know what that must look like, so I expect God to fall in with what I think is good. But of course that verse does not say that God will always do what we think is best. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If you're a Christian, God has a purpose for you. And that purpose is that you might be conformed to the image of his Son. If you're a Christian, God's great purpose for you is that you should be like Jesus. And God has already been at work to bring that about. And that's what we heard about in that reading. First, he foreknew you. And that doesn't just mean that God knew about you. In biblical thought, to know someone is to have a relationship with them. You could really translate this legitimately. God loved you. The start of God's dealings with you was that he loved you. And because of that, he chose you. He predestined you to become like Jesus. I guess most of us at some stage or another in life kind of look to one side and think, oh, I wish my life was more like theirs. I wish I could be them. But whoever we try to think like that about, God's got something better for us. God's purpose is for you to become like Jesus. And he's predestined you to be like him. It's guaranteed. And for that to be possible, God called you. It was God who took the initiative in you becoming a Christian. And having called you, he dealt with everything which separated you from him. You may have heard the, because this word justified is a bit of a strange word, but you may have heard the old working definition of justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. We may be painfully aware of our sin, but if you look back to the beginning of Romans 8, Paul begins, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's just as if we'd never sinned. And finally, God has glorified you. Back in verse 18, Paul wrote, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Something we're looking forward to. But it is so certain that Paul can write here as though it's already happened. God has already done everything for you to be glorified. And nothing can stop that from happening. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing will be able to derail God's purpose for you. So, back in verse 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. If you're a Christian, then whatever happens to you, God is at work keeping you, holding you. He is working for your good. Doesn't mean that he'll always do what we want him to. Doesn't mean we'll never have any problems or sufferings. But it does mean that he is constantly at work in you, And God is going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you come to the glory he's got planned for you. When you will finally, fully be like Jesus. Of course, that won't happen in this life. This side of heaven, we will never escape temptation and sin. But now, God is at work, making you more like Jesus. That's his purpose. That's the good he's working for through all of the circumstances of your life. So if you want to do a very quick, on-the-spot health check, spiritual health check, here goes. How are you doing at becoming more like Jesus? Are you more like Jesus today than you were this time last year? If you're growing as a disciple, you should be. Or are you going backwards? Are you less like Jesus than you were in the past? Are you still living on your past spiritual life? A bit like me, still living on the fitness that I had 40 years ago. I guess it would be worth asking and pausing at this point to ask what being like Jesus would actually look like. In assemblies at Christchurch School, we've been looking at the middle section of 1 Corinthians 13 and seeing how the things mentioned there can be seen lived out in Jesus' life. Very famous passage, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And it's been said before, in fact it says it in the Spiritual Health Check booklet, you can replace the word love with Jesus. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. He does not dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And so if we want to know how we're doing at being like Jesus, try this one. Can you put your name where the asterisks are? Could you say, I am patient, I am kind, I do not envy, I do not boast, I'm not proud, I don't dishonor others? Or you could look at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is a picture of Jesus. So it's a picture of what it would be like to be like Jesus. It's what we should be becoming. Of course, none of us are completely like that. All of us are works in progress. But are you more like that than you were 12 months ago? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is what God is working to produce in your life. So how is this going to happen? If God's work is to make you more like Jesus, that's the good that he's doing, if that's the case, how does it happen? Is it just a case of, this is great, because I kind of sit there, and just by magic, I'll become more like Jesus. As long as I put my feet up and do nothing, I'll get more like Jesus every day. No, that's not the way that it works, I'm afraid. If you were here about a month ago, you might remember we looked at something Paul wrote to the Philippians. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So God is always at work for your good, working out this good purpose, but we've got to play our part. We've got to do the things through which God will be at work. God wants to make you more like Jesus, and there are key ways in which he wants to do that. Our part is just kind of to be doing those things through which he will work. And the middle section of the Spiritual Health Check booklet is kind of all about those things, and we're going to be picking them up on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, starting next Sunday. But actually, if you were here last week, we started looking at them then. Last Sunday morning, we were thinking about what it means not to be healthy individual Christians, but what it means to be a healthy church. And we read this from Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So those are four hallmarks of a healthy church. Oops. There are four things which God wants to be at work through in order to bless his church and to bless the people who make up his church. So these are four things which, if you want to boost your spiritual health, need to be a part of your Lent. They need to be part of your life generally. So there's the apostles' teaching. Learning from the Bible. And of course, compared to the first century Christians, we are just so blessed. We have any number of Bibles that we've got access to. We can have Bible reading notes to help us read. We can buy books that will help us to understand the Bible. We can listen to talks on the Bible on the interweb. And we have Bible teaching here on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. There's so much stuff there for us. All we need is the will to use those things. The early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and I think it's the Bible that's God's prime means of building up our spiritual health. And then there's fellowship. You see, you will never grow as a Christian on your own. Actually, you'll never grow as a Christian if you just stick with your own little clique. We need each other. We need each other to encourage and support us. We need each other so that, as Paul writes in Galatians 6, we can carry each other's burdens. But we also need each other because we need to learn to be patient and not easily angered. And you see, the amazing thing is, God has graciously given you within the church people who irritate you. So that those people who irritate you can help you to become more patient and less easily angered. How amazing is that? A real church is a place where you just have to learn those things. You have to become more like Jesus. We need the breaking of bread. I said last week, that's not because there's anything magical about the bread and wine at communion. When we have communion later, that is just what they are. They're bread and wine. But when we have communion, it's a time for us to focus on Jesus and what he's done for us. And as we do that, it should draw us deeper into our love for him. It's about reigniting our passion for him. And we need the prayers. Not just prayer as a private, individual thing, the prayers, times when we meet together to pray. Debbie was talking earlier about prayer triplets. It'd be great to be doing that, meeting with a couple of other people over the next few weeks to pray together. I said last week, one of the clearest indicators of the health of Christ Church would be the attendance at prayer meeting on Wednesday. And I have to say, on that basis, we're not a healthy church. We've run a pretty bad way, actually. But you see, these things, They're not important for their own sake. They're important because they are some of the ways in which God wants to be building us up, making us more spiritually healthy. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. If you're a Christian, God is at work for you. He is at work making you more like Jesus. That's his purpose for you. Someday when you go home to be with him, you will be like him. But now you can grow to be more like Jesus. That's what God wants for you. Because the alternative is to be the spiritual equivalent of me at the top of those stairs. Very surprised at how unfit I'd got and completely exhausted. But spiritually, that is not what God wants for you. He wants something so much better. He wants you to be spiritually healthy, to be becoming more and more like Jesus. And he is the one who will do that in you. All you need to do is to put yourself in the place and do the things where God can be at work.